Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast with me, your host, Francesca. So today I wanted to just chat about something I hear and see all the time, and I'm told all the time when clients come to me, and that is symptoms of low mood, anxiety, sleep issues, poor memory recall, constipation, whatever it might be. How often do we hear, oh, that's just perimenopause, or that's just menopause, that's just what happens? And then the disempowering message there is, oh, there's nothing you can do. Those symptoms are just menopause, just perimenopause, get on with it. But the other thing we also need to consider is that other hormones can also go out of balance quite easily and cause exactly those symptoms: low mood, anxiety, sleep issues, poor memory recall, constipation, whatever else it might be, weight gain. And also possible nutrient deficiencies might be driving symptoms like brain fog, low mood, low energy, poor memory recall. So key nutrients that we would look at would be iron, B12, B6, folate, zinc, vitamin D, selenium, choline. Deficiencies in any of these nutrients can cause or, you know, drive certain symptoms that I just mentioned. Now, when we talk about perimenopause, it's, you know, commonly assumed, which is correct, but we tend to only think in terms of progesterone and estrogen. We think, okay, all of these symptoms that somebody might be experiencing, if we just fob them off with, oh, that's just perimenopause, or that's just menopause, we then put all of those symptoms down to estrogen and progesterone, the decline, the loss of those two hormones. And of course, perimenopause is a change in those two hormones. That's exactly what it is. Progesterone declines, estrogen becomes erratic. Initially, in the early stages of perimenopause, it gets higher and it's still erratic. And then it eventually starts its decline, all the while being erratic. And that situation, of course, can and does bring about a lot of the symptoms I just mentioned. But it also brings a change in the entire hormonal landscape in the body. And that creates a big metabolic shift in the body that can bring about all of these different symptoms that we typically know about perimenopause. If you want to dive deeper into all of the different phases of perimenopause and the various symptoms that are common in the different phases, you can listen to episode 2 and 3. I'd say listen to both of those, where I dive much deeper into that. But essentially, the point I want to make today is that whilst perimenopause is, of course, about estrogen and progesterone, the changes in these hormones creates a whole change in the hormonal landscape in the body, not just these two hormones. So things like how we process carbohydrates and manage our blood glucose levels changes, and then our blood sugar balance hormones shift. So insulin and cortisol and glucagon. Your stress hormones shift, adrenaline, cortisol, thyroid hormone changes, DHEA and testosterone production. There's a lot that's shifting. And all of these hormones have an impact on things like energy, mood, sleep, cognition, weight. Now, the decline in progesterone and the erratic nature of estrogen drives up cortisol. That's the kind of nature of the change in those hormones. It can naturally put us in the fight or flight state. So where it's driving up cortisol, that makes us feel like, you know, how we might feel, we're in that fight or flight nervous system state. So it also impacts thyroid function. It disrupts blood sugar balance. So it's also important to be addressing and supporting all of these other hormonal imbalances that might be at play when it comes to symptoms, rather than just saying, oh, it's just perimenopause, just put it down to perimenopause and that's it. Or, oh, that's menopause, just get HRT and that will solve it. And whilst I'm all for HRT, we have to address the different imbalances that could be at play that are likely driving these symptoms. So because these other hormone imbalances during perimenopause and menopause can really mimic symptoms, it's important that we are considering everything. So for example, an example of mimicking the common symptoms would be that low thyroid can cause fatigue, mood swings, anxiety, brain fog, joint pain, weight gain, heavy periods, all the typical symptoms associated with perimenopause and menopause. But underactive thyroid can cause these symptoms as well, or Hashimoto's, which is the autoimmunity to the thyroid gland, which creates hypothyroidism. Chronic stress, subsequent low or high cortisol caused by chronic stress, can cause low mood, anxiety, irritability, sleep issues, poor memory recall, weight gain, especially belly fat, muscle and joint aches and pains, fatigue. Insulin resistance can cause weight gain, particularly belly fat again, fatigue, brain fog, muscle and joint aches and pains again, and so on. So it's important that we consider all of these potential imbalances as well. And this is where nutritional therapy, for example, and nutrition and lifestyle interventions really come into play. Now, with my clients, I'm always looking at the whole picture. I'm looking at their nutrition habits, their lifestyle habits, their stress load, their blood sugar regulation, their digestion and their gut health, their sleep habits. I'm checking for nutrient deficiencies. I'm looking at thyroid function and so on. So it's about supporting the body as a whole. Perimenopause brings a whole body system shift, and we need to take a whole body systems approach to it, which is why we have to look at everything. So let's look at a case example where the question could be, is it stress or is it perimenopause? So let's call my client Sophie. So Sophie's 43. She is feeling overwhelmed. She's tearful. She's irritable and she's anxious. Her energy is on the floor, as she puts it. She's gaining weight around her middle and she's starting to have trouble sleeping. And at night she feels tired, but really wired, and she just can't get to sleep. Within the last couple of years, she's lost a close family member. Her job has become very high pressure and she's moved house. Now, I took a whole case history from Sophie before our first session. And then in our first session, we dive deeper into all of it. And that revealed even more stress and upheaval for Sophie that had occurred over the last 10 years. And coupled with her poor nutrition habits, her poor lifestyle habits, she was now really struggling. And that's not to say that anything is a person's fault. People don't realize that their nutrition and their lifestyle, number one, are as impactful as they are. And number two, they don't know what works for their body and what doesn't. Unless you are well studied in this stuff and qualified and working in it, why would you know? So it's not to pass blame onto anybody at all. It's just that what we saw when we looked at the whole case history is all of these things put together were likely driving, or sort of led her to where she is now and driving all of these symptoms. And unless she addresses all of those things that were causing the imbalances in the first place, she's likely to get much, relief from her symptoms. She would be told by other people that it's just probably perimenopause or maybe even early menopause, and either do nothing because it's just something to cope with until menopause comes, or start HRT. Now, whilst, again, as I said, I'm all for using estrogen and progesterone replacement, adding it in where needed, I'm all for it at the appropriate times, and I'll definitely be using it when the time comes for me. For example, when hormones where progesterone and estrogen are genuinely low, they're not being, we're just not producing them in enough amounts anymore. But I'm also in favor of laying the foundations nutritionally and lifestyle wise that support the body to thrive. Then if and when HRT is needed, it's the icing on the cake, but it can only do so much if those foundations aren't there and the person can't, isn't thriving. So in Sophie's case, it's not the one solution to say, okay, it's perimenopause, do nothing, or take HRT. It's not the only solution, because we need to address the physiological imbalances that she's found herself with, that we've identified. And from there, she can get so much relief and good results. So we actually did test her cortisol levels. We did a 4-point saliva test for cortisol. It's also called an adrenal stress index, because the adrenal glands refers to the glands in the body that produce your stress hormones. So we did this cortisol test, which looked at the level of her cortisol. Obviously, it's just a snapshot in time, but we can get an idea of her cortisol levels and also the daily pattern or rhythm of her cortisol, which should follow a specific rhythm for good energy, sleep, mood, and weight. So it has a certain rhythm that it should follow in any 24-hour period. So her cortisol rhythm was skewed. That's what we found in the results. And her cortisol levels were sky high. We found that her adrenals were producing a lot of cortisol and she was burning through all of that cortisol in her body, which suggests high stress, chronic stress, and this chronic need to use up lots of cortisol. So the impact of this on her symptoms would be absolutely huge. So remember, she's coming in with low mood, irritability, anxiety, energy on the floor, gaining weight around her middle and struggling to sleep. All of those things would be impacted by cortisol levels, chronic stress, high stress. But this is where things get murky when it comes to perimenopause, because whilst declining progesterone and erratic estrogen will create shifts in cortisol and a person's tolerance to stress, her high pressure days and her recent years of stress, very high stress, will be exacerbating everything tenfold. And it's the first place to start, because despite the shift in sex hormones and the knock-on impact to these other hormones, your nutrition and lifestyle habits and your life load, your mental load and your mindset play a huge role in how impactful perimenopause will be. We can't change the fact that that progesterone and estrogen are changing or behaving in the way that they are, because that is that's natural physiology as we move into perimenopause. But we can help to taper it, I guess, or support it so that it doesn't create such a huge impact on how we feel. So that's where nutrition and lifestyle habits come in, and managing stress, looking at our mental load, looking at our mindset, all of these things come into play. This is what we don't hear enough of in sort of mainstream media and on social media. It's also so black and white or polarized. It's like, you know, you've got a camp that say taking HRT is the only way and it needs to be started as early as possible. And if it's not working, we just need to increase the doses. And then we've got the other side of people that say, oh, no, absolutely stay away from HRT. Just use herbs. You know, it's the only way. Just get on with it. There's nothing you can do is also another thing we hear from people. But it's not that black and white. So what Sophie needs is guidance on how she can start to manage her stress, nurture and support her nervous system to support healthier cortisol levels and balance, how she can support her circadian rhythms, her body's internal body clock, to support better cortisol patterns across the day, and also then better sleep, better mood, better energy, better memory, cognition, weight, how to balance her blood sugar levels. All of these things will have a positive impact on thyroid, for example, if there was an issue there. And all of these things support all of the issues that she's got: memory and cognition, mood, sleep, weight. So perimenopause brings this whole change in hormonal landscape that brings about a lot of different symptoms that are cognitive, physical, and emotional. And we do need to take a whole body systems approach by addressing nutrition and lifestyle stuff, which is, when we say nutrition and lifestyle, it's basically an umbrella way of saying, you know, addressing your entire life, looking at nutrient deficiencies, looking at your diet, looking at how you're balancing blood sugar, look at your cortisol balance because of stress, you know, just looking at absolutely everything. We can really help minimize the impact of this hormonal landscape shift if we do this. We can support these hormones so that they don't shift in such a crazy and impactful way. Now, with Sophie being 43, she may have genuinely got low estrogen levels by then. It is a bit young to have genuinely low, low, low levels of estrogen. But, you know, it's not to say that that doesn't happen. Of course it does. Early menopause is between 40 and 43. And remember, menopause is after 12 months, a whole year without having a period. At that point, the ovaries completely stop making estrogen and progesterone. All of the time before that is perimenopause, and we are still making, as long as we're still having some periods, we're still making those hormones. But usually at 43, estrogen, that's a time when estrogen is actually higher than it's ever been before, but the erratic nature of it has already started, because that's what perimenopause is, and progesterone is likely declining. But most likely, as I say, for Sophie, she's probably still got high-ish levels of estrogen. But the erratic nature, the low progesterone, she will be feeling the physiological effects of those, coupled with all those other things that we've uncovered in her, you know, the deep dive case history that we've done. So for Sophie, right now, replacing estrogen is unlikely to be what she needs. Instead, she needs to address the whole picture that we just talked about. And then later in her perimenopause years, closer to menopause, once estrogen levels are genuinely low, replacing it then could be a wonderful thing to do if that's what she wants to do. It's not one or the other. is always about laying healthy foundations and addressing all aspects of a person's life and nutrition. And that just has to be addressed if we want to thrive now, but also later as we age. So addressing and optimizing our nutrition and lifestyle habits, it's just so important if we want a better experience, but also to safeguard so many aspects of health, both now and in the future, bone health, heart health, brain health, you name it, you know, to safeguard all of those things, we need to have those foundations in place and support them long term. So without addressing any, you know, all of this stuff, the many stressors, without addressing the multiple stressors to the body, which I'll list out in a minute, there's only so much traction, for example, hormone replacement therapy can have. So the various stressors that will be hammering us and making things a lot harder during perimenopause with regards to how we experience it, symptoms wise, are things like relationships, financial insecurity, resentment towards a person or people or anything past, bereavement and grief, going through a divorce or a massive separation, moving house, moving areas, trauma, fear, pain. So lots of people live in fear of various things, traffic, noise, pollution, poor sleep habits, shift work, too much blue light exposure, especially at night. That's just the blue light is what we get from TV and devices, not enough time outside in natural daylight during the day, nutrient deficiencies, dehydration, overtraining, being too sedentary, the other side of it, poor blood sugar control, having insulin resistance, having high body fat, having high cholesterol, high alcohol intake, low fiber, low protein, low fat, eating lots of refined carbs, eating lots of sugar, having any viral infections, bacterial infections, for example, in the gut, mold toxicity or exposure to mold, food intolerances we're unaware of, inflammation in the gut and a leaky gut lining, imbalances in gut bacteria. These are just, I've listed off quite a few there, but there's probably more as well. But these are the kind of various aspects of our health that we really do want to address. So without addressing these, as I said, there's only so much something like HRT can do. And as I said, I am all for it and will be using it, but it shouldn't just be one or the other. This is how addressing all of these different stressors and addressing the different hormonal imbalances that are there, not just progesterone and estrogen, that's how we build our physical and mental resilience and fill up our batteries. So I really hope that this has been helpful and insightful. And as ever, please get in touch if you have any comments or questions or even suggestions for episode topics or guests. I'd love to make sure that, you know, I'd love to know that I'm producing episodes for you guys that you all ask for. So I'd love to hear from you. You can DM me on Instagram or you can email me and my details will be in the show notes. So that's it for today and I'll see you next time. Bye bye. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit and consider leaving a rating and a review as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy, or you'll also find the link in the show notes.